Hello there, and welcome to Women of Grit, a podcast that holds space for women to have authentic conversations about our intersectional challenges and where we elevate women's voices, celebrate their strengths, and honor their resilience. I'm your host, Dr. Ahn, the gritpreneur and woman of grit. Come on in, we saved a seat at the table for you.
Today's guest is a life mastery coach who is passionate about sharing her insights into the keys to turning our baggage into luggage and living the life of our dreams. She's the founder of Vibrant Living International, a nonprofit organization dedicated to bringing accelerated transformation to individuals all around the world. With over 25 years of experience as a speaker and coach, she developed powerful programs to help women rise above their painful past and embrace the life of their dreams. Prepare to begin tapping into your greatness and unleashing your full potential. Welcome to Woman of Grit, Donna Kashjian. I'm happy to have you here today. How are you doing?
I am doing fabulous. How are you?
I'm great. Let's talk about grit. Grit is defined as passion and perseverance for meaningful long-term goals despite obstacles and setbacks. And that was the definition coined by Dr. Angela Lee Duckworth, an American psychologist and academic. I'm going to throw a twist in that. Mm-hmm. If you could only choose one, not both, which would you choose? Passion? Mm-hmm. For perseverance, and why?
I would probably choose perseverance. I actually got an award once for being perseverance. And I would choose that because I kind of think you can't have perseverance without passion.
Mm-hmm. No. So there's really no right answer, honestly.
No, I know.
There's no right answer. So, you know, I'm just curious. Talking about passion, mm-hmm. yours is helping individuals reach their full potential. Mm-hmm. Please share with us a success story that readily comes to mind of someone who went from feeling stuck or limited to living the life of their dreams.
Mm-hmm. One of the recent stories that comes to mind was a woman who had a difficult childhood. There was a lot of shame in her life. Things always were going to go bad for her. And even though she persevered, and those beliefs caused health challenges as well in her life as she began to go forward. And she went through a program. And at the end of it, she was so overwhelmed with the changes that have occurred in the period of time that we were working together that she had trouble articulating the amount of change. But she went from hopeless to hope, from shame to believing in herself and confidence. And watching that, the work that I do is hard to articulate sometimes what the difference that comes from stressed out, feeling like it's never going to work, to having hope and excitement for the future and a plan. Because
right.
when you're hopeless, you don't even have a plan.
Mm-hmm.
You don't even have dreams because it's not okay to dream. I'll just be disappointed.
Right.
And so watching that, watching her face and watching that transform, she's like, I get it now. I get it. And then, of course, our story's not over. Help watching how that transforms as she moves forward in her life.
That must have been really amazing.
It was amazing.
Amazing. That's a better word. Absolutely. That's fabulous. So your clients have described your programs as, quote unquote, a refreshing vacation for the body and soul, providing peace and confidence. Can you tell us more about the key elements of your program that creates such transformative experiences? You just said it's even hard to articulate, but yes. Do your very best.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have a couple of signature programs that I have created. One is called Turn Your Baggage into Luggage.
Mm-hmm.
So you can have the life you dreamed. And in that program, it is helping people to get a new perspective on what has happened to them. It's transforming their baggage into something that they can actually utilize that creates a better life for them. Looking at things, it reminds me of, when I say perspective, the biggest way I know is being in an airplane. And you look down at the earth and they look like matchbox little cars driving around, you know, and your perspective has changed on how large the earth is or how small problems feel. So when we begin to change our perspective on how we have looked at our life and look at things in a new way, it changes your whole life. It changes your whole future and how to begin to do that. And that's when we can go from stressed out to refreshed for your body and soul, is working through that.
Wow, excellent. So I'm always excited to have another podcast host to my show, as there's a certain level of appreciation mm-hmm. for this work we do as podcast hosts, especially for solo podcasters.
Yes.
You know, I host, I produce, I edit. A one-stop shop. You host and produce a podcast called mm-hmm. You Were Designed for Greatness. What inspired you to launch your podcast that explores the concept of greatness and how greatness relates to personal growth and fulfillment? What was your impetus, I would say?
Podcast was a way for me to reach people in a really small, I minimize it by saying that, but without a lot of money or effort, it is a way to reach a great audience. So that was the reason I originally began. And when I was meeting with my podcast launch coach, she was giving me help and she said, what is it that you want people to walk away from? And I've never really said it like that before, but what came out of me is I want people to know and discover that they're great, that discover that they were designed for greatness.
Yeah.
And it kind of stuck. And what I mean by that, one of the things that I'm the founder of Vibrant Living, which is the producer of the mm-hmm. podcast. And the main thing that Vibrant Living's mission, or to easy to concise it to, is I want to stop identity theft. And I'm mm-hmm. not talking about our credit cards.
Right.
I'm talking about all those things that we say we can't do, or we're not good enough, or we're not smart enough, or we don't know how to do that, or all of the labels that we get placed on us that pigeonhole us, that confine us.
Right.
From being who we were created to be. Now, greatness, that's an interesting subject, because somebody always, when I mention greatness, means they compare themselves to whoever they think is greater.
Right.
And I do this exercise when I am teaching this. And so if you will allow me today, will you pick a flower that will represent you at this moment?
An orchid.
All right. That is a gorgeous flower.
Yes.
All right. I'm going to pick a daisy. And today, if I was confining myself, I would look at that orchid and say, I'm just not that pretty. I'm not that elegant. I'm not that graceful. I'm just not enough. But we're never supposed to compare an orchid to a daisy. And we do that type of thing. So being great is, if I'm a daisy, be a daisy. Well, see, what we do is you try to be a daisy and I try to be an orchid and both of us are miserable.
Yes. Yes.
And so that's what greatness is. You being authentically you, not what your mom said or not what your dad said or not what somebody told you you should be, but who you were designed to be, stepping into your gifts. Not comparing your gifts to the other person next to you, but you being you. That's what we need in the world. Everyone to be authentically them, and the world will be a better place.
Absolutely. You know, when you said that not being what your mom or your dad wants you to be, it just reminded me a lot of times parents try to live vicariously through their children. My dad had wanted to go to medical school, but for various reasons, he didn't do it. He went into agriculture, animal husbandry instead, I guess, kind of like a doctor of animals. But for as long as I could remember, I wanted to do medicine. And after college, I took some time off because I needed to be sure that that's what I wanted, that it wasn't my father's hopes and dreams for me. It was my dad living vicariously through me. So I took a break. I took a break of 4 years, absolutely 4 years. And I did a master's during that time. I worked in a lab and I just said to myself, I cannot do this for the rest of my life. So I need to get with the program. But at that point, I understood, I was sure that that was my agenda, not my father's agenda, because I'd taken a break. And I made that decision without telling any of my siblings, without telling my dad, without telling my mom. I applied to medical school and I got in. And the fact that I actually took that break and made a conscious decision to apply on my own, it was my decision, served me well, because when things got tough, as they are in medical school, I couldn't say, this is not what I chose for myself. I couldn't blame it on my parents. That was a choice I made for myself. So I'm really glad that I took the time and gave myself space to fully own it, own that decision, and not what my parents wanted for me. So like all my siblings, my parents were surprised when I told them I got accepted to medical school. So yeah, definitely. So even people we think of as being very successful and wealthy, in comparison there, have suffered from imposter syndrome.
Yes.
And experienced negative self-talk. Somebody who readily comes to mind is Oprah Winfrey. And I think even Maya Angelou, in fact, Maya Angelou said she was just waiting to get that tap on her shoulder to say, hey, the jig was up. You know, they finally found out that she was not the real deal. So your clients raise your ability to turn fear, to turn their fear, obviously, into excitement and expose lies so the truth can shine through. And imposter syndrome is really lies we tell ourselves, right?
It is. Absolutely.
So could you could you share with us a common fear or limiting belief that you often encounter in the clients you work with and how you begin helping them to overcome it or begin that journey towards overcoming it?
Well, a very common fear, it goes along with the imposter syndrome somehow, because the fake it till you make it statement, I think, feeds into that whole feelings of not being the right person for the job or something along those lines. But one of the greatest fears is not being good enough. It's the lack of self-confidence and not being good enough to do whatever, to be a success, to have your dreams. The list goes on. And I think that is always afraid of rejection. Those kind of feelings is one of the biggest things of people that I work with. It is a little bit insidious because we don't always recognize it's sneaking in on us.
Right.
And learning that, how to identify that. When I talk about shifting fear to excitement, when you really talk about the way that your body is reacting in both of those situations, I'm excited to go to the football game or whatever. I'm excited to go to a concert. and my blood pressure's up and I could sweat or I could react. It's like, and then I'm afraid of something and my body reacts very similar. And when you've had difficult past, disappointment, trauma, anything that's in your past, your body is defaulting to avoiding fear at all cost,
right?
Avoiding danger at all costs. So when I begin to feel excitement, I resist that thing that I might love because there's danger. I'm equating it to danger.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yes, and absolutely. So
as you begin to unpack the difference between danger and excitement,
right,
and you begin to feel more comfortable in your own skin and have more confidence, then you're able to be you and whatever your gift is to the world. Because every person is a gift. It's just helping them to realize it.
Realize it, recognize their gift, that they are a gift and what their gifts are.
Absolutely.
So, you know, you talked about fake it till you make it. My writing coach says, faith it.
Yes.
Till you make it. You
I like
know?
That one so, better.
Yeah, he says, faith it till you make it. And, you know, it's so true, the emotions you get, the way your heart races, maybe even that pounding, you know, that feeling in the pit of your stomach.
Yep.
You get that in both the danger and the excitement.
I mean,
you know, so
when you when you fall in love, you get nauseous.
Yes. When I felt, you know, back in the day when I'd fall in love, I lost my appetite. It's like I was just surviving on love, you know, absolutely. Okay.
Yes.
So, yeah. And I'm thinking, if that just came to me, it's like, hey, when I get that fear, or what I think is fear.
Right.
Just to flip it on its head. It's like I'm excited, you know?
Exactly.
This is excitement, not fear.
It changes everything. It changes your perspective.
Perspective.
It changes the way you're looking at things.
Absolutely.
And when you change your perspective, you see things that you wouldn't have seen otherwise.
Right. They say if you can't change your situation or you can't change the environment, you change the way you see it. So your perspective shifts.
Mm-hmm.
So you have over 25 years of experience as a speaker and coach. What are some of the key insights you've gained along the way that have had the most profound impact on your own personal growth and development?
One of the biggest things for me was redefining what visible meant to me.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime you have any kind of dream or desire, we've got to be visible. And the way this really began to show up in deeper ways is when I, for some reason, had to begin to do videos. And when people wanted to record me or when I'm trying to, I'm all stiff.
Yes.
You know, in all of the, I could speak in front of a group and do much better, but somehow the group wasn't there.
Right.
And so there's just this red dot. And they're supposed to be pretending like it's people and figuring
right.
out how to do that. And so I began to backpedal. I was always too busy. Always had something else to do.
Right.
In truth, I'm just avoiding doing video. Mm-hmm. And so I went to my coach and said, we've got to figure this out because I know I need to do video. It's the way things are going. And
going.
So we went through a process of redefining what did being visible and seen, what did being seen mean to me? And we went back and talked about what it had meant to be seen as a child. Now, in my household, I don't know if your mother did, but if she used your first and middle name and last name, you were in trouble.
You were in trouble. Yes. Yes.
They used your whole name. You were in big trouble. But most of the time when my name was called in growing up, there was some job I needed to do. So it wasn't fun. There was work. or I was in trouble.
Right.
And I remember I had my first full-time job at 18. And I remember the boss would say, Donna, can you come in the office? And my stomach would just drop. I'm in trouble. Mm-hmm. That feeling of I'm in trouble. And so every time I would think about doing video or other thing that happened to me, go back a minute, in elementary school, in school, is I was always made fun of and criticized. I was always the new kid, usually the only one with my coloring. And therefore, they made up rhymes about me. They called me names. So being seen was being criticized, rejected, in trouble. None of this is good.
No.
And so I had to write a new story.
Right.
But what means being seen meant today. Not what I meant as a child, but I went through the process with my coach, working through that, of what it meant to be visible. And now I speak all over the place and do tons of videos, and I have a blast doing it.
Right, right.
But it was a big transformation. I didn't know why until I began to work through the process.
Wow. So from childhood, I think about my own childhood, and when we heard my mom's car, everybody looked around, you picked this up, you picked that up, to make sure when she walked in, you were not in trouble. My grandmother, when I lived with her, I watched that woman in constant motion, my grandmother. She was a firm believer that the devil finds work for idle hands. And so you could not be idle. Just the thought of sleeping late or just lounging and not doing anything quote unquote constructive or beneficial was, I mean, literally my mom and my aunts, that's how they lived their lives. You know, they did not know to take some time. Just sit with yourself.
Yeah, that's lazy, right?
Lazy. Yes, that's lazy. So, yeah. The organization, Vibrant Living International, aims to bring accelerated transformation to people worldwide. What are some of the unique challenges, opportunities? You know, we talk about fear and excitement. Well, challenges, opportunities you've encountered while working with people of diverse cultures and backgrounds, and how has this work shaped your approach to life?
It definitely improves your communication skills. This is what I said. This is what I heard you say. It's a really great little phrase.
Right.
This is what I heard you say. Is that what you meant? And that works all across the board. And the other thing that I have discovered is people are not that different. When we get to the core, it doesn't matter. I say that in the kindest way. The culture, the nation, the language, all of that in our inner core, every one of us want to be loved, want to be accepted, and we want to know we matter.
Right.
And family and all of that, that thing of belonging, all of us have that desire. So when we quit looking at all of the things that are, even though we appreciate the diversity, but we look at who people really are, it helps that communication as well.
You know, talking about diversity, belonging, I just think about diversity, equity, inclusion, and belonging. And, you know, I do DIB work, and among all four, belonging is the one that's nearest and dearest to my heart. You know, because your environment, I think of a work environment, your work environment could be diverse. You know, there could be inclusion. They could include you. But until you feel like you are part of that group, until you have that sense of belonging. And for me, that sense of belonging means I show up to work as my authentic self. I'm originally from Cameroon in West Central Africa. If that means I'm wearing a traditional dress to work, I do so. Where I work right now, I do so. And I think 50% of my job satisfaction, I could go somewhere else and make a lot more money. I could go somewhere else and have more prestige. But 50% of my job satisfaction, I can attribute to belonging, the people I work with. And it just feels easy. There's some people who work in places where they sit in their yes. car and they have to take a couple of deep breaths before they even go in. So definitely belonging is near and dear to my heart. So we often hear about the importance of self-care. I'm definitely a believer. And my highest form of self-care so far is travel. I love to travel to new places, meet new people. It does not have to be out of the country. It could be me just traveling to Arizona, meeting new people. You know, my most expensive self-care endeavor right now is traveling overseas. Mm-hmm. And my least expensive self, you know, what I do for self-care is to say no. Mm-hmm. Without having to explain myself. I spend many years just, oh, no, I can't do that because I have to take the kid here and I have to take the kid there. Mm-hmm. How about just no? Hey, I need time to myself. I don't need to explain myself to anybody. What? I mean, really? And, you know, you would think that's so simple. That's so easy. You just say no and have a period there. You know, a full stop, as, you know, the British say.
No is a complete sentence.
Yes, no is a complete sentence, and a complete sentence ends with a period. That's it. No, can't do that. Nope, nope, nope. What are some specific practices or strategies that you would recommend to individuals looking to prioritize their own well-being and to create, as you put it, a vibrant and fulfilling life?
One of the phrases that I use is honoring your yes and your no's, which is something you just mentioned.
Right.
But one of the things we don't often realize is when I say yes to something, it's an equation. I am also saying no to something.
Right.
And I use this story when my son was in junior high. They were in a private school and they had a soccer team. And any away games, the parents had to do the transportation. And I happened to have a van. And so I volunteered to transport the junior high boys soccer team to all their away games.
Right.
And I loved it. It got a little stinky sometimes, but I loved
yeah.
it. But at the same point, I expected myself to keep the laundry up, to keep the house as clean as it was, to still do all the home-cooked meals that I was doing. And I was really hard on myself and upset and all stressed out because I was not doing all the things that I had been doing before I added this new thing. And so when we begin to understand, when I say yes to something, I am equally saying no to something. There is only so much time. And it gives you pause to reflect what's most important to me.
Right.
What are the priorities in my life?
Right.
And sometimes I have declined doing things because I'm taking a nap.
Right.
And getting rid of the feeling like we're idle so that we can really, truly take care of ourselves. And belonging, you mentioned that, and I love that phrase, is I use the phrase comfortable in my own skin, because until I really am, it's hard for me to belong.
Right.
Because I've been in a crowd of a loving, caring people and felt all alone. And then there's really toxic places too. I'm not minimizing that.
Yes.
But we can be in a good environment and still feel like we don't belong.
Right.
Because I haven't learned how to be happy with me.
Right.
To learn to love me. So it is equally growing in loving myself and taking care of me and finding out who I am and what that looks like, who I want to be, and also then looking for a safe environment. I often say, I'm sure I'm not the first. I'm not sure where I heard it. Go where you're celebrated, not tolerated.
Right. I've heard that too.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And so learning to be able to find belonging in being with me. And then it's easier to find belonging in a group.
And that is so true. You know, I consider myself fortunate because I like my own company. Mm-hmm. There are times when I'm home alone. And not everybody can do that. There are some people, when they have that alone time or when they're alone, they just can't sit with their thoughts and their feelings. They have to go look for noise. They have to go find somebody else to keep company with, you know? So that is definitely so true. We all have to practice spending alone time with ourselves, you know? You're not lonely. You're alone. You are not necessarily lonely. Some people, the moment they're alone, they feel lonely. Mm-hmm. I don't. So I'm really blessed that way that I can spend time in my own company. So I call myself the Gritpreneur. I trademark that. You know, it just hit me one day because I say I help women get their grit back. You know, during and after adversity, I lost my grit. So once I started doing the personal development work to help regain my grits, find my voice, reclaim my power, and start really transforming into the woman you see here today. You know, so you are an expert in helping women rise above a painful past. What advice would you give to someone who may be struggling to let go of past traumas and fully embrace their future with optimism and confidence?
You want me to give the answer to that in the next 5 minutes or so? But I will give you some tips.
Some tips, yes.
I am prefacing that question with the reality of that's not done in the next 5 minutes. And we really want, I tease some of my clients, all right, congratulations, I will be shipping you a magic booth.
I know.
You're going to step in that and I'm going to say the magic words and it's going to all be better. And
yes,
we all want that. But, and I remember someone said to me, Donna, your story is, you're just a walking miracle. And I was gracious and thanked them. And I'm just pondering that. I'm like, miracle feels like it was overnight.
Right.
And this was one choice after another choice after another choice, mm-hmm. of when it was hard and when I didn't want to, and beginning to believe something different. Affirmations is a huge thing. Declarations, that's one of the books that I've written.
Right.
It has 30 days of declarations in it written for you. And the title of it is The Key to Transform Your Life. Because it is the key. It is one of the major keys. The words that we speak, you cannot think one thought and speak another.
Right.
If you are thinking critical thoughts, speak what you want instead. It's easy to speak what you have. It doesn't take any extra perseverance or grit to speak what you have. Speak what you want to be.
Right.
And have instead. And so that is one of the big keys. Forgiveness is another one, highly misunderstood.
Right.
And it doesn't have to be hard. That's one of the misunderstandings, is that it has to be hard. Some of the things that I hear is, I can't forgive. They're not sorry.
Right.
I can't forgive. It means they'll get away with it. And I say, by you holding unforgiveness, is it punishing them or you?
Right. Is it Nelson Mandela, who said, you drink poison?
Yes.
And expect somebody else to die?
Yes.
You know?
Absolutely. And I quote that all the time. Yeah. And so forgiveness, we cannot have transformation from our past without learning how to fully forgive. And I have a whole easy to walk through process that I take people through that gives them the power to not only forgive others, but themselves.
Right.
Which is whole part is also part of the picture. So, and also the third part that I'll mention is don't do it alone. When we try to DIY it, I need to figure it out. And instead of getting a coach, getting support, getting someone who's been there before,
right,
to be able to help us. And if you do those three things, there's more to it, of course, but those three things sound simple, but they are powerful in when they're put into practice.
So you mentioned your books. Where can listeners find your book?
That particular book, The Key to Transform Your Life, is on my website.
Okay.
And my website is the letter I, vibrantliving.com.
And I will include that in the show notes when the episode airs so that if anybody is driving like I do, I listen to most of my podcasts in the car when I'm driving to or from work, that information will be made available. Is there anything that I left out that you would want to touch on before we wrap things up here today?
Not really. I think we've had a really enlightening conversation.
Loved it, loved it, loved it. I think I'm going to go look for that book myself because, yes, I start affirmations and then some. I just drop off sometimes. And so I will go to your website and look for that. So thank you, Donna, for gracing us with your presence and sharing your insights and wisdom on this episode of Woman of Grit. Your passion for helping others reach their full potential is self-evident. I mean, just the way you talk and you just light up. And we wish you continued success in all your endeavors as you touch more lives, write more books, and create a ripple effect of positive transformation. So take care and until next time.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming.
So that's it for today's episode of Woman of Grit. Thank you for joining us and don't miss the next episode in 1 week. And while you're waiting, you can catch up on previous episodes of our podcast on your favorite listening platforms, which you can access from our website, womanofgritpodcast.com. While on the website, you can learn more about today's guest and all our previous guests. Make sure to subscribe, leave a review, and rate the show to help us reach more listeners so we can continue bringing you these incredible stories of women who have overcome challenges with grit and determination. Thank you for your support, and until next week, remain ever gritful and never quit. It's always darkest before dawn, but light comes in the morning. Take care.